because when people stop, they go full speed. Yeah! Stop out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like minimal braking. It's very true.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
We're with some children today.
Hello.
No.
Yeah, but it's still fun.
Yep.
Hello, children. How are you today?
Peachy.
Huh?
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
We have too much reverb.
Reverb.
Reverb. Okay, so what are we talking about today, Kyle?
The topic of today is safety. How to remain safe while flying, some good practices, distances, mm-hmm. and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And we brought in an expert that's going to talk to us about safety.
Safety.
You want to get it going?
Let's do it.
Let's All right. do it.
All right.
We're back with another episode of the BKRC podcast.
We have a special guest.
We do. Very special indeed.
We have guests every week. That's awesome. I love it. I love it.
We got a lot of friends.
I know. We have a lot of friends. This week we have the one and only Mr. Andrioli.
Andrioli.
Very nice. Mangia la pasta.
Allora. Brutto. Okay. Brutto. Paul Andrioli is with us here.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Man, a few words.
Paul is a little intimidated.
Yeah. No.
First time on a podcast.
No, not me.
Yeah. We fed him some liquid inspiration. He's still choking it down right now.
And he's here with us, like, locally. It's awesome. It's the best. When we do the podcast like these, it's the best.
It's perfect.
No Skype, no bullshit. It's just all live.
Or,
you know, together.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah. And as a little preface, I am sick right now. Paul usually comes to my apartment about every weekend, every other weekend.
It's about that.
Yeah. And he got me sick last time.
No.
So thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Anyway, so, Bert, what have you been up to? What's going on?
I've been playing with my brand new V-Bar Touch.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm full of shit. I can't afford that stuff. I don't have one.
Someday, right?
Maybe one day.
They're cool. They're
fun. Need to work for, like, I don't know, 6 months before I can afford one.
Oh, God, here we go. Mm-hmm. No way. You've been flying your jet? You've been flying at all?
Nope, not at all.
What have you been doing?
No flying. No need.
It looks cool, though.
The jet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to go fly it. Tomorrow, we'll go fly it.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Paul's busy tomorrow.
No, Paul's busy. Next time.
Only half
come.
The day.
Sunday.
Only
next
the
time.
Day.
Next
okay.
time. Allora.
We can eat some pasta, fly the jet. Very beautiful. Oh, I apologize, audience. We're being stupid today. We're having fun. It's Friday.
Yep.
As the we're recording this on a Friday. So it's a good feeling. You know, we finished our work week. It's a great week.
Yep.
It's all good. Yeah.
Having fun. Yeah.
So, Kyle, what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about safety in flying, and we're going to cover some stuff to keep in mind because, you know, we all kind of take these helis for granted. Sometimes we get a little too confident with them. We trust ourselves. We trust the mechanics. So, going to go over some good practices.
Who's a mechanic?
Like huh?
Mechanic. What do you
mechanic.
Mean?
Yeah.
Who's your mechanic?
Who's a mechanic? Me. Okay, yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah, we're going to talk about helis, good maintenance stuff, make sure your stuff stays together, electronics, just kind of, you know, keep it safe out there because these things can be pretty aggressive and they can end your life. So
of course.
We're going to try and just keep it safe. Keep it light, keep it safe. And Paul has an interesting story related to that, so we'll get into that later. But for those of you that don't know Paul, Paul's been flying for a long time. He and I have been friends for a very long time now. We go back quite a ways.
Hold on. Let me interrupt.
Okay.
I met Paul.
Yes.
And he doesn't know when.
Oh.
I met him at the... What was the name of the fun fly in Boston?
Heli Phenom.
Heli Phenom,
yep.
And he was like 12 years old.
Something like that.
And he was like the most annoying kid.
Sure, let's go with that.
He's like, hey, I want to fly. Hey, can I fly? Oh, it's awesome. My shit. He's
Nothing
always
has changed.
Been a bullshitter. He's awesome. I love the guy.
Yeah.
Because he's always been a bullshitter. He knows his way around every answer to every question.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. It's Paul, awesome. No, Paul's, seriously, he's awesome. It's awesome.
Paul is one of my favorite humans. He really is because he's so genuine and happy, and he's just really happy to be here.
Thank you.
He's awesome, and he's a great drinker. Anyway, so... Paul, what do you think?
What do I think about safety?
Tell us. No, we're not getting there yet. For those of you, for those of the listeners that don't know who you are.
Okay.
Let's get into your background. How long you been flying? What are you flying now? Stuff like that.
So I've probably been flying for about 9-10 years.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And you're how old now? 20.
I'm 24.
Four. Okay. Wow, I was gonna guess 23.
Yeah, just turned 24. This past May. So currently I'm flying a Logo 700. Mm-hmm. And
we didn't ask you what brand you were flying.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm so
keeping
sorry.
It neutral.
Yeah. I'm keeping it neutral. Okay. Yeah. But
lines or logos are not allowed in our program. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Gail. Sorry, Gorgon. It's all good. No, I'm just kidding. No. When did you start flying? When you were 14?
I start, yeah, around the 13 to 14 year age. I walked into a hobby shop, and there was a gentleman, the name of John Ryan, and he saw me messing around in the simulator, and he was like, "Oh, you kind of took easy to all this helicopter stuff," because I immediately went right to the helicopters. The airplanes I had no interest in it.
Did you ever fly an airplane, or it was like straight into helicopters?
I flew some airplanes prior to that, and I got kind of bored with it. And then
why?
I saw. Because they couldn't do all the cool stuff the helicopters do. They go upside down, do TikToks, and I was just fascinated by it. And then his son, who flew rather well in my area, and he kind of taught me some basic 3D, and it kind of just segued from there and just became a hobby and started going to events, and here I am today.
Having fun,
learning new stuff.
So what was your first event?
My first real
that
event
you can remember,
was the Rochester event in Western New York. Actually, the event that Kyle's dad puts on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
or
was
used
back
to.
At, used
now
to.
All Chris Reibert.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was there with my whole family, and we had a great time. And I got to see the hobby for what it really was, and that just inspired me even more. I saw Kyle fly, people like Phil.
Phil Wynn.
Yeah, I saw him fly the Stratus.
Yep,
this is going back a ways. I saw Art Hughes flying his Stratus as well, and I was like, wow. And AJ as well, AJ Jaffe. I saw them fly, and I was like, wow, I want to do this. Wow. And it kind of evolved to what it is today.
Nice. Cool. So, what in the hobby keeps it fun for you? Like, how do you keep flying fun for you? What do you do to, you know, enjoy it time after time? Because if you do it a lot throughout the summer, you can kind of get burnt out. So,
what keeps it fresh and fun for me is all the new maneuvers that come out, and not only trying to copy it, but do it your own way. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a different transition or different take on the maneuver.
Mm.
If you are able to take something that exists already and make it your own, it becomes unique to yourself.
That's true.
And that's what makes me keep flying, you know, and trying new things. And that's what makes it fresh for me.
Huh. Fair enough.
So, Paul, you're flying a Logo right now?
That's correct.
Why?
No,
I'm just curious. I'm not trying to be smart.
This
is a great heli. I'm just asking.
I love the helicopter. The way it flies it's very linear. At the same time, mechanics I'm very familiar with over the last 5 or 6 years, and it amazes me every day when I learn a new thing. It just keeps on going.
So what was the first heli that you flew?
The first heli I ever flew was a Blade 6-2, the red one, coax.
Wow.
Remember that back in the day?
Yeah. No, that was way after my time.
Yeah, dude, you remember the red Blade 6-2? It's a coax. There was no actual terror.
After my time.
I remember flying it in my house, and just, it was awesome.
I'm too old for that.
Too old.
And then I moved on to a T-Rex 450 Pro flybar.
Yeah.
With the CGY 401.
Oh.
And that was great.
450 Flybart. Yeah. That's the one that I helped design. Yeah.
And with the white canopy that you had to glue the windshield on.
Yeah.
Yep. And you put the stickers on, and it was like, wow.
Back in the day.
The G10 frames?
On the 4th. On the
He's talking about the one before. You did the 450 Pro.
No, before that.
You did the Pro, right?
Yeah, I did the Pro.
He's talking about the one before that.
Was it the carbon frame was the Pro, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the one before that. That was the next helmet.
T-Rex 450. It
was like an SE.
Whatever, SE. Yeah.
Or SA, something like that, yeah.
And I was flying a DX7, and I loved it. And then after that, it moved on to a T-Rex 600. And that's when I went to your father's event.
Mm-hmm. And what about Curtis's helicopters?
Then I went to Curtis's helicopters.
Because I remember when I met you, you're like, "Oh, Curtis this, Curtis that, and the rave this, the rave that."
I love those helicopters. They're great. It was an awesome company to be involved with. The support was awesome, and it was a great environment to be part of. And then I moved on to a company then called TSA.
Yeah.
Which
Nigel Brown.
I think Experience RC at the time was carrying the TSA line in the United States.
Yeah, the Nitro and the Electric.
Yep. And I loved the Nitro. That helicopter was great. I loved it, and it did everything I wanted to do. I learned how to tune a Nitro motor properly with that machine. And the electric, it wasn't my cup of tea, but the Nitro for sure was great.
Nitro is solid. So that's kind of Paul, and now you're flying the Logos, and you and I hang out. We have a good time.
Of course.
Fly together. We just go to the local field and just kind of fly some packs, hang out.
Yeah.
Kick back. It's a good time. But what do you think? Should we dive into the topic? The topic of the podcast? Do you have some more questions for Paulie?
What keeps it fun for you, Paul? What makes it fun? What keeps it fun?
The people.
What keeps it interesting?
The people that are involved in the hobby. That's what keeps it fun for me.
Who?
The core group.
Explain.
Who's the core group?
I mean, you guys, of course. The A-Main crew, which I'm part of. And all the other teams, everyone builds off each other. Everyone sees each other when we go to an event. And we all have fun. Mm-hmm. We all build off each other's skill,
enthusiasm,
and charisma.
The people that really don't get it, you're sponsored by A-Main Hobbies.
Exactly.
You're part of the A-Main flight team, right?
Exactly,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so your A-Main boys, they're all super nice guys.
We
good things to say about all of them.
Yeah.
They're all super great.
We all come from different backgrounds, completely different backgrounds, and we all have a great time, and everybody clicks. But we also talk to everyone else. We don't stick with our own group, and we socialize with everyone. And that's what makes the hobby fun. If you take all that branding and all the team stuff out of the way, and you just talk to people genuinely and just have a great time, that's what makes the hobby great. And this is what we have to continue doing, because if we don't, then we're gonna lose it.
Daily dose of real right there.
Daily dose of real.
Daily That's dose right. of real events. Boom. Keep it alive. Events and friends and camaraderie and all that.
Yeah.
Get behind that. Not bad.
So what is this podcast about again?
Safety.
I think it's safety.
Safety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Safety. So
you changed the topic on me like literally right before I hit the record button. So I'm double checking on this.
No, the topic has been set for like 4 weeks now, dude.
No. Okay.
No, so safety.
So my show notes are all screwed up because they don't talk about safety. They talk about something else.
Whatever.
The future of the hobby. Anyway.
We can do both.
Okay, let's do both. This is a bullshitting episode.
We're just talking.
I hope you guys
enjoy
it. No. Anyway, so Paul.
Yes.
What's your next question, Kyle? You want to jump into it?
Does everyone just go into it?
I want to talk about safety.
This is like shooting the shit. It's like great.
There's like no guidelines.
No
it's
pressure.
Just like, it's one topic. And it's just
it's the way it should be.
Let's get into safety a little bit. I think this is a very important thing that, it doesn't really get touched on too much.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's very, very important because I think people take for granted how powerful these machines are and how dangerous they really can be.
Of course.
You know, I go to a lot of events a year and Bert goes to a lot of events. And Paul, you get around as well. It's easy to see how people are flying close and they're flying high head speed and they're flying aggressive and they...
It's easy to get comfortable.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of trust in those little plastic links and electronic components and anything can fail and anything can happen. So I think that we should just kind of touch on, you know, bad things can happen when you least expect
it. And when it happens fast.
And Paul, you had a scenario with that.
I did, and it was not even mechanical.
Right. You want to talk about that?
Sure. So I think it was IRCHA 2013, I believe, right before I went to college. I was flying the TSA Nitro center stage, early demo. And I dug the tail really hard on the ground and it was like 45 feet away. And there's a lot of people that think it was a lot closer. And it really wasn't. There's another video out there, not as popular as the one that's shown on social media and on YouTube. And I dug the tail on the ground and the gear stripped. And the helicopter from square one was on a path for me. But the thing was, I tried to bleed off as much head speed as I could. The thing was pirouetting, it was upside down, and it was on my left-hand side, and it came at me very quickly, and it nicked the back of my, my lower back. And it was a shock, of course. And I remember Art Hughes, as well as yourself, coming at me after, you know,
you were right there watching it. Yeah.
I know. It was a very surreal experience. It was very it happened very quickly, and it was at the same time it was almost in slow motion.
Right.
And at the point where the helicopter's upside down and it's about a foot away from you and it's spinning, then it becomes very real very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's something that every pilot should take in consideration, the risk, the assumed risk when flying. And there should be a mental buffer as far as what you're, not only how far you're flying, but what you're doing, how far, you know, how far out you do it. And your confidence in that maneuver going into it, not while doing it. And that's the important part, because if you, confidence plays a big role, but also mechanically, yes, there's issues that tend to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not the only one who's had an incident before, but
so,
from what I learned from it.
So in this particular case scenario, was this 100% your fault?
Of course, it was my fault.
So what did you do that caused the mistake? Because that's good for people.
Sure. I was too low. I was too low.
No, but low is okay.
Trying too hard, maybe.
I was trying too hard, and I was operating a little bit. And I'm not exaggerating this at all. A little bit outside of my skill set at the time. And, you know, you're on center stage, you want to impress people, but at the same time, you don't want to look too erratic and you want to put on a good show for what you can do. And that's a lot of pressure that these new pilots that come into the scene. My advice to you is, when you're on center stage and you're flying, make sure to take and fly within your comfort level, but also keep a mental distance how far the machine now is, you know, away from you and the crowd. And I know there was some issues or some incident. There was an incident a few years afterwards where I actually came into the crowd. And thank God no one got hurt.
Before your incident, there was an incident with a very well-known pilot at the time. I don't even want to mention names. He lives in the Carolinas.
It's okay. You don't have to.
No need. And because he's an excellent pilot, he was, and still probably to this day is. I haven't seen him flying forever, but he was doing a demo there, and he had an issue, and it came into the crowd, and it hit somebody in the knee. And, you know, it was a legit crash. He wasn't flying outside of his kill set or doing anything irresponsible. He just hit the ground, got too low, like we all do, right?
Yeah,
you're going at a an event. You have somebody on the microphone saying, "Oh yeah, get lower, lower, lower." Like, you know, God bless him, rest in peace, Big D used to do, or like you know, our friend Nick Johnson, you know, does to this day. And you know, you get motivated. You get an announcer that's pushing you, and he got a little bit low. He hit the ground, and the helicopter bounced and came back towards the pits and hit somebody in the knee. And it wasn't anything, you know, out of this world. I mean, the person had to have some stitches and stuff, but still is a reminder that if that wouldn't have hit a knee, but it would have hit a neck or, you know, a vital part, it could have been a totally different story.
Of course.
Right. And so it's just a reminder, you know, it's, you know I used to fly really close to myself back in the day. I don't fly often enough, and I don't practice enough to feel comfortable enough with flying really close, and I don't think I'll ever will in the future, just because I'm getting older and I just don't practice as much as I used to. But I know people that are pro pilots that fly very close to themselves.
Sure.
And it's just it's okay as long as you're in control, and not to say that they're gonna make a mistake, but anything can fail.
Anything,
of course.
Flight controller, you know,
you're putting a lot of trust in helicopter these little parts.
Yeah, you are.
We don't want to dwell on like the negatives, because
of course
What I want to take people to take away from this is like a more of a positive. Like, keep having fun. Like, we don't want you guys to get bored or, you know,
but it's,
be
it's,
scared of them.
But it's something to be aware of. Right?
It's something to be aware of.
And this is why we're doing this. It's people need to understand the fact that, and I know a lot of people, the vast majority of the listeners understand that it's a very dangerous hobby.
Very.
You know, we're flying lawnmowers in the air.
Of course.
Literally. And it's just a matter of maintaining some common sense and being careful and thinking about the possible implications of a failure or a pilot error and so forth, and just keeping it safe. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you know, and doing like maintenance and stuff, regular maintenance, checking your links, changing in all your mechanics. I've gotten lucky by finding stuff on the bench that's, you know, gotten worn out that could have been an issue the very next flight.
I mean, one thing after that incident, I became a lot more self-conscious about my equipment.
Right.
And that's half the battle. This is mechanical and electrical. Make sure your wires aren't chafing on your carbon frames or anywhere else in the heli.
Sure.
Making sure things aren't being tugged on, because, you know, vibration has its magical ways of doing stuff like that with anything, any product out there.
Yeah.
You have to be thorough enough with your equipment, but at the same time, be self-conscious of what you're doing in the moment. That's the biggest thing that I learned after my incident in 2013, was being self-conscious about what I'm doing,
right,
how close I'm doing it, how much energy is coming at me or to the left or right at me.
Right.
And that's the advice I would give to not only people who are just beginning the hobby, but, you know, pro pilots that get carried away. It's and
anything can happen.
I'm not even on the level that you are, Kyle, and I could say to someone that is even more or on the same level that you are and say, hey, you know, keep it out a little bit more, or maybe a little bit left to the right of yourself, because it gets dangerous real quick.
Yeah.
But the positive part about all this is that if you take all these lessons into consideration, you can definitely have a great time in the hobby and stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do everything in your power to make sure your stuff is squared away and have a good time while doing it, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
You know, fluke things happen, and that's life.
Right.
And we've seen that in the hobby, and it happens every so often. But that's with anything in life. You try your best until something happens, and unfortunately it does, but it's okay.
So let's kind of pivot point. Paul kind of touched a little bit on some stuff to look for and some stuff to keep an eye on for pre-flight rituals or at the end of the day, stuff to look over. Some stuff that I look at quite continuously is, Paul already mentioned, is wires, servo yes. wires, BEC wires. Make sure nothing's chafing.
Exactly.
If it's going to go around carbon, make sure it's protected. Make sure there's, I don't know, wire loom or Velcro or something that's going to keep that wire from getting cut on the carbon. Because if you lose signal or anything, that component's going to turn off. Like if it's a servo wire and it's rubbing on carbon and the signal wire gets chafed, it's just going to turn off. And if that servo turns off, that's going to be bad.
And for you Mikado guys who are flying plastic airframes, it chafes on plastic too. I've seen it before, and I saw it with the Extreme 700 when I flew that for 2 years, and I've even seen it with the new logo. Even with the 690, if you don't assemble your equipment properly and take into account for what could happen when you're building your equipment, mm-hmm. stuff does happen. So yeah. Be conscious of what you're doing, because it all will show in the end. And if that's a positive note, you're preparing for anything that could happen. Sure. That's all I have to say.
So Bert, what do you typically do to make sure your stuff is in tip-top shape? You can be as safe as you can. Is there something that you look at specifically? Is there something that you try and do preventative maintenance? What do you look at when you're
nothing?
You know, nothing. You just let it ride.
No, I mean,
send it.
You know, it's all about common sense, right?
Sure.
So you go to flying field, you fly, you pack your heli, you go home. You know, if you compromised the integrity of the helicopter, you know, if you had a hard landing, you know, if you did something stupid, you hit the blades on the ground, tail blades on the ground. You kind of know. So based on what you've done and how you, what you know you've done, you check your helicopter accordingly. So if I don't do anything, and I know and I'm confident that I haven't hit anything, I haven't touched the ground with my tail blades, my main blades, I haven't done anything stupid, I haven't screwed up on a landing or a bad auto rotation, I still check my main things before, you know, when I power up. It's not like I go through an extensive check, but when I power up, I check my linkages. You know, I feel my blade grips. I feel like to make sure that there's no extreme slop anywhere, nothing. You know, I just basically like try to turn the pitch on the blades. When the helicopter's powered up, I look at the tail. I look at the mainframes. I just give it a quick overall glance, right?
Sure.
If I know that something's beyond that to where I had a bad landing or a hard landing or something like that, then yeah, I go over it more in depth. But it's just common sense. You know, yeah. You just look at your equipment, make sure your equipment's good to go. I know people that just plug in the battery and go flying. They never even look at anything.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah.
I mean, also, like, let's say you have a tip over on a 700. It doesn't matter what brand. Sometimes when you have a tip over, it can be more violent than a previous tip over. Let's say it's a bad auto or something like that. Personally, whenever I have something happen to my machine, if it's a tip over or anything like that, I replace the spindle bolts, because that's a vital part of the machine that makes it fly. And if anything that jeopardizes the structural integrity of the machine, then I tend to replace that.
Sure.
It's. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, you might look past it and say, oh, you might take the bolts out and replace the spindle, but, you know, for $3 more, let's just replace the bolts as well.
Because there's a lot of pressure being put on those bolts.
Of course, yeah.
You know, you're running like 2200 RPM, there's a lot of pressure on those bolts.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's a small price to pay for huge impact, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's just worth it just to change bulbs over time, just to keep things in check. Change your links. Links are cheap. You know, I usually try and change mine every season just so they're nice and tight and fresh and, you know, safe. Another thing that we haven't talked about yet is wire securing. A lot of times people will goop their wires into the FBL unit, fly brush unit. That's a great idea.
Yep.
Because if your servo leads fall out or if your BEC wires fall out, that's going to be bad.
Yep.
So any sort of connection is a great idea to just use some sort of like maybe hot glue. I know Bert uses hot glue on his stuff or some sort of goop. Double-sided tape, just keep those from coming out, especially on a nitro, because of all the vibrations, those wires come back out so easy.
If you're flying a nitro and you're using 3M tape to secure your wires into your V-bar or whatever fly barless unit you're using, I learned this from Art Hughes. Goop Who? Is, yes, Art Hughes.
So, never heard of him.
Oh. Yeah, he told me always goop my wires no matter what it was.
And he used to be a team pilot back in the day, right? For SAB or something?
He was. He got busy with some life stuff. And
that's okay, too.
Away with his career. And it's all
but
good.
You know what? Good lessons from people who took into consideration some good stuff and passed it on, you know?
Sure. So it's just kind of common sense. Look your stuff over. Make sure all the bolts are tight. Make sure things are secure and safe. Don't take it for granted, because you guys are putting a lot of trust in some very small parts like plastic linkages and stuff like that. So
and it's unfortunate, but it's worth mentioning that we've lost some people in the hobby.
Yes,
of course.
Due to accidents.
Yes,
and it hasn't been a lot, but it's been enough.
It's been If it's there's been one
enough to make an impact, you know, absolutely. How we think
more than enough. Yeah,
yeah.
There's no reason why we should lose a single person to it.
Right.
Well, we have.
A big one that I'm sure everyone's probably heard of now is Roman Porozic.
Yep.
That was very sad. That was probably 4 or 5 years ago now, where he was struck by his own helicopter. And the details are not important, but the main detail is that we lost him. He was a great guy, and it's very, very sad that we lost him. But it's just a reminder that these things are flying machines, and they are dangerous. But if you're careful with them, you can have some fun.
Exactly. I mean,
keep it safe.
Exactly. If you keep it safe, it's all positive and all good.
Yeah. Just think twice. If you're going to fly close to yourself, think twice. If you're going to cut the grass, look it over, because there might be a rock or something that hit your blade or something. So just, like Bert said, common sense. Keep it smart. If you're going to do something silly, pay attention.
My personal advice is for all those new pilots or up-and-coming pilots that are on the scene. If you take into consideration distance and the mechanics of your helicopter, you should be fine. You know,
just keep it out. Keep it a few mistakes out. If you're flying at an event, you're trying to show off for your buddies, keep it out. There's no reason to fly close and, you know, get up in your face. Just keep it out. Keep it safe. There's no reason to fly right in your face whatsoever.
You guys can be just as impressive, you know, 10 feet out as, you know, right near your feet. There's no need.
Bert, what do you have to say? You've been quiet.
Yeah, I agree.
Huh?
You know, I agree. Keep it safe. Distance. Distance is your friend.
Yes.
You know, the farther away you get, the smaller the chance that you have to hit yourself with it.
Exactly.
So,
or someone else, you know?
It's still a matter of probability and statistics, you know? Like, geometrically, if you want to get really technical, you know, the farther away you are, the smaller the radius of the probability, right?
Mm-hmm.
The less the amount of degrees in that radius that you're the probability of hitting yourself. So yeah, absolutely. I've seen people fly really close to themselves. That's cool for a pass, two passes, whatever you do.
Yep.
But overall, try to keep it out. Try to keep it all out. I would say at least at bare minimum 20 feet, 20 to 25 feet when you're doing work on
and
the deck.
What about high energy maneuvers coming towards you? What do you think?
I'm guilty of having done that. I mean, I used to play this joke back in the day at torches with my friends and be stupid and like come towards ourselves and do some TikToks and, you know, pop it to where it was like 4 or 5 feet from us. That's just very, very stupid and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in years and I don't plan on doing that again. I would say, you know, keep it at least 25 feet. 25 exactly. feet is still not far enough to assure you safety, but is far enough to at least reduce the
risk.
Yeah, yeah, the risk.
I mean,
I'm living
proof of it. I mean,
or at least give you some time to get out of the way. If
exactly.
I've had helicopters come at me. Even in the past couple of years, I've had stuff come at me
for various reasons. Not to say I almost died in Phoenix.
That's right.
At the end of
last year. I remember seeing that video. Yeah. You guys showed it to me. Yeah,
there's a video. And not to say anything about the pilot. It's not even worth mentioning the pilot's name.
Nope,
he genuinely screwed up. Mm-hmm. It was a genuine mistake.
Yep.
It's not about making a mistake or not making a mistake. It's about the fact that you could die or a friend of yours could die.
Right.
And this was really, really close. If I would have been standing literally 3 to 5 feet
forward,
I would have gotten killed.
Yes,
because that thing came down with all the speed it had.
No throttle.
Thank God.
Nothing. Yeah. It came full speed. So,
it's just common sense. Yeah. Use safety and common sense.
But taking all this, somewhat negative, advice, it's actually positive in a way.
It really is
because if you take all this into consideration, you can really have a lot of fun in the hobby and progress and I don't know what else.
Yeah, feel better about what you're doing in the
exactly
hobby.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Feel
more
comfortable even at IRCHA, when you're flying under the lights, just because it's under the lights and everyone wants a good show doesn't mean you have to be reckless. You be safe and be considerate of what you're doing.
Yep. But moving along, so that's kind of safety. Just kind of touching on it a little bit. Keep you guys safe. Just common sense.
Right.
Common sense. Bert, do you have anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to add on?
Not really.
Is that it right there?
Yeah.
Is that the podcast?
That's it.
Well.
Okay.
Thank you guys for tuning in. This is just a
Want to wrap it up?
Well, really?
Do you have anything else
to talk about? Paul about anything else?
Paul, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Really? You're going to make it this lame.
Really?
What do you want to say?
That's why they mock us, because we have this shitty ass podcast that is like really short and lame. But we didn't say anything productive.
We did. We passed on a lot of knowledge about keeping people alive.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Is there anything you want
to
touch on? Fun flies? Fun flies coming up.
Yeah.
Let's turn it positive. Fun
flies
coming
up. We just came back from Virginia.
And
it was awesome.
Virginia was a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It really is.
We need to do another podcast about Virginia. How about next week we'll do Virginia?
Deal. It's a good idea.
Because it was an awesome event.
Awesome.
The weather was iffy.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Yeah. It's, like Paul said, it's about the people there.
Exactly.
It can rain. You can have fun. Hang out with your buddies. But we'll cover Virginia the next one.
I had more fun in Virginia than I did at IRCHA.
Yeah,
I did, and the weather was worse.
No, the weather was great. We'll reveal the weather and the whole story next time.
Right. We'll cover it all. We'll cover it all. But
what do you want to talk about?
I have another topic I want to talk about.
We got 8 minutes.
What's the topic?
I have another topic I want to talk about.
Okay, go for it.
This is broad though, so we kind of got to keep our answers concise.
Okay.
Okay.
The future of RC helicopters. Oh, very broad, but...
Very good, very good.
This is an episode in itself.
Okay, we can get into it. But I want... You can turn this down if you want. But I want everyone here to touch on what they want to see as the next revolution of RC helicopters.
There's nothing to be revolutionary about.
Okay, well, the last
Listen. It comes in cycles. The cycle ended recently.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
listen. The cycle was advancements in electrics happened over the last 10 years. Cycle was advancements in fiberless technology happened over the last 10 years. Advancement was better batteries, higher C rating batteries, blah, 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 more durable batteries already happened. Advancement was getting rid of the flybars already happened. Advancement was getting a V control system already happened. Like, you know, full integration between your transmitter and your flyberless controller.
Okay.
All those things happen. Faster servos, better construction helicopter, advancement in machining and CNC and better...
quality mechanics.
Quality mechanics.
Okay.
Already happened. So we're going through this phase where it's stagnant.
No.
And yeah, and that's acceptable.
No.
It needs, we need to reach that next
maybe
point where something will happen. No. We're not there yet. Yes.
Here, let's talk on what we want to see.
I tell you what happened. Ooh. We have a Kyle Stacey edition servo. Ooh. Revolutionary.
Very.
Yeah. It's a good other than that, there's nothing special.
Okay, well, let's talk about what we want to see then. This is not necessarily going to happen, but...
Batteries that last 8 minutes.
Okay, that's pushing it. So...
No, I've said that. That's a true fact. I've said instead of increasing the C rating, leave the C rating down. Give me a C rating of 10C or 15C again, but put 10,000 milliamps in the size of a 5,000 milliamp pack. Ooh. Now we're talking. Now the C rating doesn't matter.
Or maybe batteries that you can drain down to zero and they come back like nothing happened.
I do that every time.
Ooh.
Next. No.
Consistently. Yeah,
here's what I want to see. I want to see a fresh, new Nitro engine case design. We've been tweaking and tuning the same.
No, cool. Nobody cares that's about great. Nitro anymore.
Can I talk? Can I talk?
Nobody cares about
talk,
Nitro
talk,
anymore.
Can I talk?
Okay. Thank you. I want to see a new case design, a new, bigger, stronger, better engine. We've been tuning the same OS91 or YS91 engine in the same case, the same crank. Very minimal changes over
the years.
But
nobody cares. Nobody flies Nitro anymore. You and Uncle Ron do.
No, people play Nitro.
Listen, I want to see a new case design, but that's also going to take a new helicopter design.
Exactly.
So OS is going to have to get up and make a new case. People like SAB or even Mikado or Align are gonna and Synergy are gonna have to make new helicopters to support the new engine, to support the next revolution of Nitro. So it's gonna be more power, more efficient, longer flight time. There's a lot of things that can be done to an engine to give it more power, but we're tuning the same engine case.
Right. How much
make it bigger?
How many horsepower do you think that an OS 105 or 91 produces?
Not enough. There you go. I think it's like
four or five, maybe three and a half,
something like that. But
3.5 horsepower.
3.5. Okay. Let's crank it up. Let's get more power. Nitro is freaking sweet, bro. Let's crank it up. Get some more power.
What about Paul? What do you think?
I think if the engines become
forget Nitro.
What do you want to see next?
What do you want to see next in the hobby? The future.
The next revolution of the different type of some type of different type of the airframe.
The
innovation.
Uncrashable helicopter, the uncrashable helicopter.
Oh, that's the uncrashable.
That's already been decided. It's called a Kraken.
What do you want to see, Paul? Let's talk about it.
A different type of airframe. I mean, SAB came out with their airframe how many years ago?
Many.
I told you, it's called a Kraken. The Kraken from SAB.
Kraken.
Hold on, let me try this. One moment. Give me a second here.
Okay.
I love this podcast.
Pause.
The Kraken from SAB Heli Division.
Very nice.
See, that's
very nice.
It.
Okay.
But an airframe that's different, a different approach to what we're flying now, that improves everything that we do, you know. And I know it's a very broad thing to say, but I'm sure that SAB took an was approached with the same question when they came out with their heli. You know, it's
tough, man. Innovation is difficult. Innovation is really tough. It really is. Yeah, that's what
makes it. Takes a certain kind of mind, and it takes a certain kind of people that are resilient to.
But it's what makes the hobby fun,
because we're always striving for something different.
Yeah,
of course. Something better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it fun. Exactly.
Innovation pushes competition.
Exactly.
Yes. So let's wrap it up.
Okay.
I think we've talked enough about
safety.
Nothing.
Safety and nothing. And yeah.
Yeah.
This has been one of those episodes. You know, we're going to get yelled at by the free fall people.
Why?
It's too long.
No.
Let me
it's
see.
Too long.
Yeah. We're over 40 some minutes now.
Sorry, boys.
Okay. Sorry, guys. We
Please
have to hurry
us.
Up.
Yeah. Anyway. So
let's wrap Send it up. Send us your suggestions.
Yes.
Podbean. We can access it now. Next week we'll talk a little bit about Podbean comments. We've had some requests, some comments. We appreciate it. We're looking into it. We'll make it work.
Yep.
iTunes comments and Facebook and Instagram and everything else. So, Mr. Paul Andreoli.
Yes.
Mangia la pasta. if people have any questions, questions for you, questions about where you're going to be at, what you're doing, you know, whatever, what you think, yada, yada. Where would they get a hold of you?
Just contact me via Facebook.
Do you use Facebook?
I do.
Okay. Pretty on occasion?
Poorly. Yeah.
Yes.
Sporadically?
Yeah. When we force them to.
Okay. What's your Facebook? Paul Andreoli?
Paul Andreoli.
Spell that last exactly. name. Exactly. Spell the last name.
A-N-D-R-E-O-L-I.
Paul Andreoli.
Andreoli is like cheese.
Andreoli. No.
No, it's like pasta.
Andreoli. Yeah, that's better.
Is it like pasta? Spaghetti. Like Andreoli spaghetti.
Very nice. The funny part is that my last name is Italian, but I'm mostly Greek. So
I know.
It's weird.
Half and half. Greek and Italian.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Stacy.
Yes, sir.
Where can people get a hold of you?
www.facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Wow. Nice. Official.
Yep. Or you can get a hold of us at facebook.com/TheBKOfficial. Mm-hmm. Instagram, TheBKOfficial. Mm-hmm. And I can be reached at facebook.com/BurtRC or Instagram at Burt_Kammer.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk a little bit about the Virginia event next week.
Yep.
And we'll talk about, I don't know, some random stuff. And we'll come up with some topics. Send us your ideas, your topic ideas, questions, concerns,
yep,
complaints, happy thoughts, ugly thoughts, whatever you want to send us.
Let's hear it.
Send it our way.
Bring it on, boys.
Cool.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.